recently, I think the last 24 to 48 hours, close on to 200 children being taken, you know, into protect custody by the state of KZN from various facilities. And people are asking the question that how did they get into those facilities to begin with? I mean, what type of assessment was done to identify that this particular child requires additional or special treatment and needs to be transferred to that particular facility? And thereafter, for what reasons were they now removed from these state facilities and placed elsewhere? Well, here is something which is a major source of concern. The issue is that in KZN and much of the country for that matter, I mean, they are on the they're quite few, and many people sometimes view it as quite normal that where a child is taken away from the custody of the parents for whatever reason, and they're after placed into protective custody, either by the state or by anybody else. Well, this is a source of concern, and joining us, inshallah, in the next couple of minutes, we will hopefully have some answers. Now, the DA and KZN Premier Willis Nkunu to intervene urgently to prevent a repeat of the life Isidimini tragedy after 197 children were removed from three children's homes in Ladysmith, Newcastle and that surrounding area and taken to various places in the province. It is believed that officials from the KZN Social Development Department, accompanied by armed police officers, arrived unannounced at the Moresta Children's Homes in Ladysmith, the Moresta Children's Homes in Newcastle and Home Mia Newcastle as well on Friday and violently removed the children, which included a one-month-old baby. We speak this evening with DA's Alf Lias. Good evening, whichever part of the world you're from, Mr. Lias.
I'm from the same time zone as you are. It is evening, but it's time is rushing on this week. I'm afraid there's so much that we have to deal with, but it's lovely to be with you. I'm sorry about the circumstances.
Thank you for joining us, Mr. Lias on Radio Islam. Why were the children removed from these children's homes in the first place? What allegations led to this action?
Look, there were vague allegations made of abuse. It's not clear who was involved in this abuse, whether it in fact was staff, management abusing children, or children abusing other children. And that's one of our major concerns, that if there are these accusations, then surely the abusers are the ones who should be removed, and not hundreds of children sort of just traumatized and removed from their home. I mean, they're already traumatized children. That's why they're in these homes. And the fascinating thing is that despite these vague suggestions that there was abuse going on, not a single person, if it were the staff and management, has been charged or arrested. They've just been left in place. So it is really a very, very strange situation. And the sad thing is that the children have been caught up in this. Children have been moved without their families and parents being told. Families and parents were desperately trying to find out where their children were on Saturday. Even on Sunday, the MEC or the Department of Social Welfare, sorry, not the MEC, official, was, when approached by a newspaper, tried to stop the newspaper publishing because the official said they still hadn't told the parents where their children were. So it really is an amazing incident of incredible uncaring dealing with children. I mean, there was the at one stage on Friday, for a period of 3 hours, 15 children under the age of two, including a one-month-old baby, apparently were put into a combi and left there for 3 hours without any food or drink or anything else. So, you know, all this needs to be confirmed, and we need to be told what the reasons were, and the children need to be loved and properly cared for.
From what we understand, that these officials used what may be deemed as excessive violence to remove children who barricaded themselves as some of them refused to leave. Is there any facts to that, Mr. Elias?
No, absolutely there is. The evidence is, there was even one group of children who barricaded them in their room and put a note out the window to say, we are staying here, we're not going. But of course, a lot of the children are tiny. 1 month-old baby, under 2 years old. They weren't in a position to try and stop this thing happening. And of course, I think that the management and staff at the homes were themselves traumatized, but they, I think, did the right thing by not trying to resist, which probably would have traumatized the children even more, despite the fact that we are informed, and it seems now to be confirmed, the officials who arrived with police had no documentation to support the removal of the children, no court order. There was just nothing, and they were unable to explain to the management and staff why they were doing this. The management and staff were immediately in touch with their attorneys. The attorneys were trying to establish what was going on, but they just proceeded anyway.
You know, granted, many of these children may be in the foster care system or orphaned or, having parents unknown regarding their whereabouts. But those that, guardians and maybe parents might be in the picture, were they informed or did they come forward expressing any concern?
They certainly were not informed. That we have confirmed that they were not informed. And yes, on Saturday, even when our representative was at the home trying to establish what had happened, there were some parents who were on the telephone to the home trying to establish where the children were. And sadly, I'm talking specifically now about the Ladysmith home.
I'll cross wires over there.
Whilst our representative was there on Saturday morning, the home was fielding calls and visits from parents and families looking for their children, and they weren't able to help them and say, well, yeah, your child was taken. It's been taken to wherever, Port Chepstone, Richards Bay, Durban, Margate. They were Greytown. They were taken all over the province. But the department didn't even have the goodwill to at least leave a list of the children where they were taken. You know, siblings, for instance, were told, oh, well, you'll go to the same place. So just put all your stuff into one suitcase. Well, in the end, some siblings were separated and landed up in different places. So without anything, just with the clothes on their back. It's appalling. This whole thing is appalling.
Mr. Alf Lias, thank you so much for joining us on behalf of the DA. And indeed, your time indeed most welcome. And certainly we'll be following up the story with regards to those children.
Thank you very much. It's the children we need to look after. That's the issue of this whole thing. Nothing more than that, just the children. Thank you very much.
That was Mr. Alf Lias joining us from the DA regarding 197 children that were removed from children's homes in Ladysmith, Newcastle and the surrounding areas. Now, the Moresta Children's Home has been in operation for a number of years, quite a landmark building there in Ladysmith with a number of branches over, over northern Natal. I think the bigger one is in Newcastle. We'll have to check about that. But the reasons behind it and whether there was the sighting of abuse or whether there was a sighting of oversight or anything of that sort is actually unclear. The department has not as yet issued a clear statement, an unambiguous statement, just merely stating that they felt that it was in the best interest of the children to remove them from those various homes, and at the same time not identifying where the parents or who are the legal guardians of these children. Now, regarding children in South Africa, there's an estimated 1.5 million children that are living in homes that are either headed by a grandparent or a child head. Now, this is something not unique to South Africa, no doubt. Countries that have got a high infection rate of AIDS, or war zones in particular. You'll see it quite often in war zones, like in Syria, in the then, you know, Rwanda and Burundi conflict of the 80s. You'll see it quite often in zones that have come out of maybe a civil escapade or a war, like South Sudan or even in Yemen. It's quite common to see households that are in fact led by children, that where you have a 16 or a 17-year-old sibling, brother or sister, who technically, of course, from a Shari'i point of view is an adult, but from a legal point of view, in most countries of the world would be classified as a child, leading a home of four or five children because the parents have either left or were forced to leave or incarcerated or are killed or sometimes too sick, or they are forced to work in far bygone areas to make ends meet. And here you have the children that have taken charge of an entire unit. And yes, at the same time, when it becomes common, it becomes, you could say, from a social point of view, manageable. But many of these children that are in the foster system here in South Africa are as a result of endemic situations that Southern Africa in particular finds itself in. We certainly will be trying to identify and keeping in contact with the department regarding the reasons of their removal and whether their relocations have been adequate, whether their relocations have been such that they are safer. Maybe they've been returned to foster homes rather than a institution or a home for such children, and what were the outcomes of the findings regarding their removal in the first place.